is simply Independence Day 2021. Psalm 33, again, verses 1 through 12. I will read it out loud. You just stand there and be quiet and listen. How's that? Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Verse 12, look at it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Father, we love you today, and we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God that we can read, that we can study, that we can understand. I thank you, Lord, for this blessed book. Lord, it's been such a blessing to me to have a copy of your word. Lord, thank you for allowing us as Christians to be part of your family. You've adopted us into your family, and Lord, it's so wonderful to have an Abba Father, a daddy, somebody that we can come to and talk to any time, day or night. You never slumber nor sleep. Lord, you're always there for us. You're always listening for our prayers. You're listening for our requests. And Lord, I thank you that you take care of us in such a great and wonderful way. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for the church. You shed your blood for the church. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you have given to us to serve you, even within the church. Thank you, Lord, again, for this country that I believe that you have blessed down through the years. Thank you, Lord, for the men and the women that helped to find this country, those that came to this new land and put stakes deep into this country, and for the founding fathers that literally gave their life, gave their all, gave their honor to sign the Declaration of Independence in which we are celebrating today. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, again for all that you do for us. And we pray that you bless the message. Use it, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I said in the bulletin there a little bit at the top of the bulletin that I asked the question, what do you believe in or how do you view Independence Day? Some people obviously look at it as a time to have a picnic. Maybe some of you today will go home and this afternoon have a picnic, have a cookout, cook some burgers and dogs and, you know, just enjoy the outdoors. It's a beautiful day. Obviously, some think of fun and games and frolicking and, you know, whatever it is that people do. For this, some people have no idea, no clue what Independence Day is all about. To them, it's a holiday. It's a day off from work. Tomorrow, you know, many people will be off from work tomorrow in celebration of Independence Day. And so a lot of people just seem to not realize that Independence Day has a meaning for every American. Every American ought to know what Independence Day is all about. Let me give you some just a real brief history here, and we'll get into the message. But by issuing the Declaration of Independence adopted by the Second Continental Congress on July 4th, 1776, 245 years ago, the Declaration of Independence was signed. The 13 American colonies severed their political connections with Great Britain. The Declaration summarized the colonists' motivations for seeking independence. By declaring themselves an independent nation, the American colonists were able to confirm an official alliance with the government of France and obtain French assistance in the war against Great Britain. Throughout the winter of 1775 and 1776, the members of the Continental Congress came to view reconciliation with Britain as unlikely. and independence the only course of action available to them. When on December 22, 1775, the British Parliament prohibited trade with the colonies, Congress responded in April of 1776 by opening colonial ports. This was a major step towards severing ties with Britain. The colonists were aided by the January publication of Thomas Paine's pamphlet entitled Common Sense, which advocated the colonies' independence and was widely distributed throughout the colonies. By February of 1776, colonial leaders were discussing the possibility of forming foreign alliances and began to draft what is called the Model Treaty that would serve as a basis for the 1778 alliance with France. Leaders for the cause of independence wanted to make certain that they had sufficient congressional support before they would bring the issue to the vote. On June 7th, 1776, Richard Henry Lee, who was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, introduced a motion in Congress to declare independence. Other members of Congress were amiable, but thought some colonies might not quite be ready. However, Congress did form a committee to draft a Declaration of Independence and assign this duty to Thomas Jefferson. Our freedom came at an alarming cost. 56 founders signed a Declaration of Independence, men like John Hancock, John Adams, and Richard Henry Lee, and others, who risked their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor for the effect or effort that gave birth to the most powerful nation on the planet. Many of those men lost their fortunes and even lost their lives after signing the document. But they were dedicated to see a free country, to see a country that could produce its own laws and own governments. And those 56 men literally dedicated their lives for the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Webster says this about independence. What is independence? Well, he gives three things, and I'm going to read them all to you. It's a state of being not dependent. Complete exemption from control or the power of others as the independence of the supreme being, speaking of God. Number two, it's a state in which a person does not rely on others for substance, ability, or to support oneself. Number three, it's a state of mind in which a person acts without bias or influence from others, exemption from undue influence, self-direction. Independence of mind is an important qualification of a judge, Webster says. By the way, we're not a racist nation, as so many are trying to propagate today. This is probably one of the least racist nations in the world. And yet, Black Lives Matter and other organizations, some radical Democrats, are running around yelling racism for everything. This country is not a racist country. We've had an amazing amount of history. We've changed some things down through the years to make things better. Don't believe the lie that we're a racist country. It's crazy the way things are being dealt with today, and our young people are being influenced and adults are being influenced by the radical left and some of the things that are going on in this country. I believe that we live in the greatest nation on earth. And by the way, if people think that we're so racist, go find another country that's not so racist. Go and join that country. Become a citizen of that country. You won't find another nation that's like this nation anywhere. But I believe that we live in the greatest nation or in the greatest nation on the planet. I believe that God has and had his fingerprints all over this great land. So many are trying to change the history books, and students are being, literally, they're not being taught the truth of history, and they're being taught a fictitious history today. But that does not change the facts of history. You can rewrite it, you can change the books, but you cannot change history. The same is true with the belief in God. There's a lot of people today that don't believe in God. It doesn't eliminate God. He's still there. and they'll see him someday, and they'll answer to him someday. God does exist. And America still exists. And America still, even though we've got some issues, we've got some problems, America still is a good country to live in. Pray for your country. Pray for the leadership of this country. Pray for the president, vice president. Pray for our senators and Congress. Pray for the Supreme Court. Pray for our local individuals that lead our local communities. Pray for our state senators and our state assembly. And just pray for these individuals that they'll be saved. A saved person can make some amazing changes in a land. We see that in the history of Israel. When Israel had a good king, the whole country pretty much followed God. When Israel had a bad king or a bad leader, the entire nation went into idolatry and went into all kinds of problems that they had. And God had to send in oppressors from other lands to deal with the nation of Israel. I wonder when that's going to take place in America. When the oppression will start coming in from the different sides of this nation. What about our independence as Christians? Jesus Christ, listen, gave everything for us. Gave everything for us. So we can have freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from sin. Freedom from self. And freedom from Satan. And freedom from the world. We have an amazing amount of freedom today, folks. We not only live in a country that represents freedom, and our flag represents freedom, but our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, represents far more freedom than we give him credit for. I want to give you two main things today, just two things about what we have as Christians. You say, we have a lot more than two. I know that, but time doesn't allow me to get into everything. First of all, number one, we have freedom from sin. Now, I'm going to quote a lot of scripture. We're going to turn to a lot of scripture today. So buckle up, get your pens and pencils and paper out, and get your Bibles ready, because we're going to look at a lot of scripture. I'm just giving you a heads up. I hear sometimes little comments, I can't keep up with him. I can't keep up with him. Well, I don't know what to tell you about that, except listen fast, listen good, and write as quick as you can. That's all I can tell you, right? Amen? Right? Again, number one, freedom from sin. Romans 6:23, most of us could probably quote it. I'm not even going to turn, I'm just going to quote it. Quote it with me, all right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All right, I was just testing to see if you knew the rest. I know the rest. I just wanted to see if you knew the rest. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'll tell you what, I am so thankful and grateful that I am forgiven of all sin. Amen. All sin. We have a complete forgiveness of all of our sins as a believer. They're gone. They're erased. They're null and void. They no longer exist as a believer. Isn't that good? That to me is a blessing. Past, present, and future sins are all forgiven. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. God in his grace, his love, and his mercy has erased all of our sins through the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. Amen. We're clean. We're sparkly clean. We even smell good as a Christian. We're supposed to. Spiritually, we're supposed to. Christ died as our substitute. He died in our place. You've heard it said, and I've said it, and you probably believe it too. I should have been hanging on the cross. I should have been nailed to the cross. I should have had the nails driven through my hands and my feet. I should have been beaten prior to that, and I should have been mocked and humiliated as Jesus went through. He had no reason to go through that except he was doing it out of love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Thank you, Lord, for calling me your friend. Amen. I don't deserve what I have today, neither do you. I don't deserve to be an American, but I am. I'm so glad that I was born in this country. I'm glad. I'm thankful. I'm happy to be an American today. And we could sit around and we could complain all about America and the leadership and all of this stuff. And we could sit around and by the end of that little conversation, we'd all be depressed and discouraged and despondent. And we'd walk out of here with our heads hanging low. But I'm still glad that I'm American. I'm still happy in this country. I will admit I was a little happier the last 4 years than I am now, but I'm still glad to be an American citizen. But I'm more happy to be a citizen of heaven. This country is changing. Heaven will never change. Things are going downhill here, but things never go downhill up there. Someday, us older folks will be dead and gone if the Lord doesn't come back right away. But our children will grow up and see America as it is. They, obviously children, our children will probably go down a road that you and I may not agree with, that we may not like. We're going to be out of here someday, either by death or rapture. I choose the rapture over death. But I'm still in a win-win situation. I'll take either. I'll take either way. I don't care. By death, our children and grandchildren and our great-grandchildren are going to grow up in a country that we may not recognize someday. I already have some things that when I was a kid, and I'm the old fogey here in the room. And yes, I didn't go walk to school uphill both ways, all that stuff. I rode bus 23 with Buzzy Pilly as my driver. And we rode that bus to school, back and forth, my brother. Remember, did you have Buzzy Pilly? Yeah, we remember our bus driver, see that? Who was your first bus driver? We know who he was. And so we rode the bus, and we went to school, and things are a lot different today than they were when we went to school. Or I went to school, Buck's younger than I am, but when I went to school. We were talking about that earlier before. When we were standing up here fellowshipping, I don't remember the awful foul language when I was young in school that we hear about today. There's some bus drivers in this room. And my years of driving school bus, I heard every word you can think of, words you don't want to think of. And I heard little tiny kindergartners curse horribly and say awful things. I had kids curse me out up one side of me and down the other. I had this one girl that she went nuts on me one day. Literally went crazy. I had to call for help. And the teachers had to come out and get her off the bus. We were at her school, thank the Lord for that. But, I mean, she just hated me with a passion. How can you hate this guy here? This nice, just... Right, Shane? How can you hate me? Right? She just had this, she was so, I don't know what it was, but she called me every name in the book. I mean, every name, plus some more I never heard of before. I think she made them up as she went along. She was so mad at me. And I can't even remember why she got mad. I think I told her, sit down and relax or something. Whoa, boy, you don't do that. But, I mean, we would never have thought about that when we were kids. The bus driver would have slammed the brakes on and said, get out of here. And that's what happened back when I was, you can't do that now, you get fired. Or they take you and they slam you in the seat, so sit there till we get to school. You get fired for that nowadays. I knew a bus driver that got fired just simply for putting his hands on a kid. Just putting his hands on a kid, trying to calm a kid down, he got fired. Never got his job back. Things have changed down through the years. Things are not getting better, things are getting a little worse. When I'm gone, the Lord doesn't come back, things are going to, I think, progressively get worse as time goes on. But I got good news for you. Heaven is in the forecast. Heaven is coming. And Jesus is going to come back here. One of these days, he's going to straighten out America. He's going to straighten out China. He's going to eliminate communism. He's going to eliminate all of the nonsense that we see going on in the world today, and he's going to set up his own rule. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. But it's going to be a righteous rule. I'm looking forward to that. We as Christians, we have something that the world has no clue what we have. They think we're crazy. They think we're foolish. You go to church how many times a week? You read what? You give that? What do you do with your money? You pray over your food in a restaurant? What is wrong with you people? That's how Christians live. Right? Well, some do anyway. We have been forgiven of all of our sins. God's grace, His love, His mercy has erased all of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. We no longer have to pay those wages throughout all eternity. Thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. For the wages of sin is death. Death is a separation from God for all eternity in a place called hell. That's what death means in Romans 6:23. Not just dying and your body just doesn't go, your body goes to sleep in the ground, your body just decays and rots, but your soul goes somewhere when you die. We all know where that is. Saved people go to heaven, lost people go to hell. But we no longer have to pay for those wages throughout all eternity. Listen carefully. This should be a stimulus for our holy conduct. This should be a stimulus. This should be a motivation for our holy conduct. And it should be a stimulus and a motivation for our service to God. Service to God. Working for Him. Amen. Living a holy life. Living a righteous life. Living a life that's honoring and glorifying to God. How can we not serve and love the God who has forgiven us for so much? How can we just sit there and absolutely do nothing for God? And it blows my mind that there are people today, Christians, so-called Christians, that won't even darken the doors of a church anymore. And yet the Bible says that Jesus died and shed His blood for the church. There are Christians, so-called, that won't even open up their Bibles and read. Remember the statistics that I gave you? Was it a week ago? How many people that used to read their Bibles just aren't reading them anymore? 700 people a day, according to this Zondervan did a study, and they came up with a study that people that used to read their Bibles, they don't read them anymore. Just close them up and leave them somewhere collecting dust. What is wrong with us? I say us. I'm just throwing us in here. I'm just saying, what is wrong with Christians? People that are supposed to be born again. Can't pick up God's Word and read it? Can't come to the church service when the doors are open? Can't pray? How can we not serve and love God who has forgiven us so much? I really believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to be sorry. Real sorry. I'm not saying everybody's going to be real sorry. I think there's going to be some people that are going to get there and they're going to be really sorry. Why didn't I serve Him more? Why didn't I do more for the Lord? He did so much for me. You will see those nail print hands and His nail print feet. And you will see His side that was riven. You'll see it. Some people believe that the blood is still going to be very obvious throughout all eternity. It's not going to be scarred over. The blood is still going to be obvious to remind us for all eternity what He did for us on the cross. We are forgiven of our sins. Let me give you some scripture. We'll turn to some, and I'm going to quote some. It's almost noon, so let me just go through this quickly. Write them down if you want to look them up later. Psalm 103, verse 12. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Amen. Praise God. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. There is forgiveness, but God, we should fear God because of it. Isaiah 1:18. I love that passage. Look at it. Isaiah 1:18. I'm going to turn to it and read it. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's the only good thing about snow for me in the winter. When I see the white snow out there, I thank the Lord that's the way God looks at me. And that's the only way I can praise the Lord for the snow. Anyway, shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So, Isaiah 38:17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. God doesn't even see him anymore. Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. We should be as close to God as ever because he has forgiven us of our sins. Not further away. Look at Micah. Micah chapter 7. I wrote down the page number so I can find it quick. Page 1015 in my Bible. You're on your own unless you got a Bible just like mine. Micah chapter 7. I'm going to read it. Verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God is a rich giving God. He loves us so much, he is just full of those spiritual riches that he wants to give us. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now I know there are some that are saying, well, that's to the Jew, that's to the nation of Israel. I understand that. But the principle, the spiritual principle there, is that God forgives all of our sins. And that's very clear in Ephesians, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's you and I. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. All sins. Isn't God good? Acts chapter 10, verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission. That word remission means forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness or remission of sins. Thank God we are freed from sin. And I'm so thankful that my salvation doesn't run out. Aren't you glad for that? Your salvation never runs out. Do you realize that? I know there are some churches and pastors and people that believe that your salvation can run out after a while. You can live your life so long, you can sin so much, and boom, your salvation is gone. You've lost it. Well, if you really had it, you never can lose it. All the material things that we have in this world will burn up someday. Sometimes Kathy and I will be driving down the road, and she'll say, or I'll say, boy, isn't that a pretty house? It'll burn up someday. All right, okay. Isn't that a nice car? Isn't that a nice truck? Isn't that a nice RV? Isn't that a nice... It'll burn up someday. All the things that you own today, right now, all the things you own, everything you own is going to burn up someday. All your cherished possessions, all the things in your garage, your basement, your attic, your house, your cars, your trucks, all of the things that you have, the things that you shine up and polish and treat so lovingly and kind, they're just going to burn up someday. It's going to rust. It's going to decay. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to break down. Some 100-pound piece of hail is going to fall out of heaven and destroy everything you have. Everything. Your house that you work so hard on, the lawn that you try to keep so trim, so nice, and you're always trying to make everything. It's not wrong to make things look nice. It's not wrong to wash your vehicle and polish and take care of things. That's the right thing to do, but we live too much for the material possessions that we have today. We work too hard for some of those things constantly, because all we do is we want more. We want more. We lose things over time. And we were talking, Kathy, we were talking about first car I ever owned. It was a 1964 Plymouth Fury 2, Roman numeral 2. It was maroon. And I put black racing stripes right down the hood. Man, I paid $200 for it. My uncle helped me get it, my uncle Stuart. And that was my first car, 16 years old, first car. I put those baby moons, you know, remember those things we used to put on our hubs, those chrome, weren't they called baby moons? I think, yeah, I put them on there. I painted the rims, and I put all kinds of time and effort into that car, and man, that thing ran good. It had the Plymouth 2, what was that Plymouth motor, 280, no, 28, 318, 318. Ooh, nice motor. I know, I used to measure the strips. I had this one road. It's true. I had this one road. Nobody lived on this one road. It was on my way to work. So on my way to work, I would stop. Perry Road, Buck, a long stretch just past the cells, right? Just past Whiskey Hill or Whiskey Hollow Road. Yep, that long stretch. Probably still got some of my burn marks right now through there. I don't know, unless they resurface them. But I would stop. Boy, I'd rev that engine up, put it in neutral, and pop it and drive, and right down the road. Then one day the transmission went. Why is my transmission not working? Well, tell me, I blew the transmission. It sat in front of the guy that I worked with for a while until we finally got it out of there. And I ruined that car. And then the next car was a 64 Ford Custom 500. And it had a 3-speed on the column. I put it on a Hurst 3-speed on the floor. Boy, that was a nice one. That had a 2, it was a 4, 289? 289, I had a 289. That was a good car. Taught Kathy how to drive a standard in that car. She learned on a hill like this. Going up Connors Road, Buck, right there to 31? Yes. That was fun, trying to teach her how to drive. We got married, I don't know if we were married then or just approaching marriage, but that was trying to teach her how to do it. But she got it. She to this day, she can drive a standard. How many of you ladies can drive a standard? Some of you can. Praise the Lord for that. How many of you can't? Be honest. All right, there's a few that right, say he can. But all of the things that we own, I mean, how many things have you had down through your life? They're gone now, right? Your first car and your, you know, that thing that you used to put so much time and effort, that's gone now. All of our stuff will be gone someday. We lose things over time, but there's one thing we can never lose. It's your salvation and mine. You know, it's still as crisp and sweet today as it was 50 years ago when I got saved. Now, the car that I had at the age of 17 is no longer, it probably went to the, yeah, I don't know where it went, but it might be in my Ford F-150 right out here. Who knows? That's probably why it's rusting out so bad. But my salvation 50 years ago is still as good as it was then. It's still as good today. And whenever it is you got saved, your salvation is still that fresh and that crisp and that good. It never wears out. Hallelujah. My truck is wearing out. I took it to the garage this past week. He called me up. I got good news and bad news. I can fix your steering, but your frame is literally rotted to the point where it's not going to last much longer. And so it's just rotting out, rusting away. But that's what happens in this day and age, right? I mean, things rot and things rust out and things are destroyed over time. But your salvation, you'll never lose that. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Romans chapter 8, turn over to Romans 8, verse 35. We've got to hurry. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sore? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good stuff, folks. John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John chapter 10, verse 28. John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom we have also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. My soul is sealed. When I got saved, God sealed me somehow. I don't know how he did it, but he sealed me with the Holy Spirit, and I am good to go when it comes time to go. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You are saved and sealed until you meet God in heaven. That's a good thing. That's a blessing. That is an honor today to be a citizen of heaven. It's good to be a citizen of America. I'm glad I am. I think this is the greatest land in the world. I'm a patriot. I believe in the American flag. I believe in honoring the flag. I believe then if we're asked to pledge allegiance to the flag that we do that. That we don't disrespect the flag. That we don't sit or turn their backs. And some of our Olympians are doing, which it just bothers me. You're representing our country. Then represent and honor the flag of the country that you're representing. These athletes that when the national anthem is played, they take a knee or they turn or they do something else. To me, it's foolishness. And what are they teaching others that are coming along? To disrespect the authority that we have in this country. I don't know, you know, again, I don't know where you stand on these issues, but folks, I'm from the old school. You honor your country, you honor your flag, you respect that because of the people, the men and women that have died down through the years to give us the freedoms that we have today. But I'm more thankful for the one that died for me. Amen. To give his life for me so I can have eternal life. Are you saved today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I hope and pray that you know him personally. I hope there was a time in your life, a specific time in your life, that you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, you repented of your sins, and you turned to Christ and asked him to forgive you and to save you, to come into your heart and save you. It's not a canned prayer. It's an attitude. It's a heart attitude that people need to have. You can't just go and lead somebody into a prayer and expect them to be saved. They have to be under conviction by the Holy Spirit of their sin, and they have to be drawn to Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit and by God. I hope and pray that you're saved today. Realize today that you're not just a citizen of America, you're a citizen of this great country of heaven that we're going to enter in one of these days. We, as Christians, have a double whammy. I have a responsibility to this country, but I have a responsibility to God. And that responsibility to God even overshadows the responsibility that I have for my country. But I will always respect and do whatever I can for my country and honor it. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've given to us. I pray, Lord, that you would bless and move upon us now. We pray for the invitation that you would bless if there's somebody.